difficult days golfing. Des Carlos here. Morning, Des.
Yeah. Are you talking about me now or the lads of the US Open? The two Irish lads struggling, but as we head into day two of the US Open, they're not alone. Incredibly, only 10 players at Oakmont are under par. Reporting, Greg Allen.
There's a particular saying that the United States Golf Association like to roll out before and during every US Open, that they're not out to try and embarrass the best players in the world, they're trying to identify them. Now, it's a very smart play on words, and sometimes it's even true, but there were nonetheless a lot of red faces yesterday. Mind you, not all of them were out of embarrassment, more out of frustration, and they included all three leading pre-championship contenders. The Masters winner Rory McIlroy, the world number one Scottie Scheffler, and defending champion Bryson DeChambeau all toiled, and they were a combined 10 over par at the end of round one, a 74 for McIlroy and 73s for each of the two top Americans. And that's a long way off the 4 under par 66 of the leader JJ Spaun, who was runner-up in a playoff to McIlroy in the Players' Championship in March, and yesterday had one of those days with the putter, holing 18 out of 19 attempts inside 20 feet.
It definitely makes me feel confident that I'm leading the tournament. I'm trying to feel like I have nothing to lose. That was kind of my mantra at the Players. So I'm going to roll with that again this week, and you know, hopefully it'll turn out more in my favor.
Meanwhile, McIlroy's round of 4 over par 74 was, to borrow a cliche, sort of a game of two halves. There was a 2 under par front nine of just 33 strokes, but a 6 over par back nine of 41 strokes. Scheffler was just one shot better with a 73, which included 6 bogeys and also a full-blooded slam of his club into the pristine Oakmont turf. But few struggled as much as Shane Lowry, who had a torrid time on the greens, especially inside the 6 to 8 foot range. In a 9 over par round of 79, he ran up 3 double bogeys and 5 bogeys, and only for an extraordinary hole out from the fairway for an eagle on his 12th hole, it would have been around in the 80s. Spaun will lead into round 2 on 4 under par by a shot from Tristan Lawrence of South Africa, and two to watch out for are a pair of US Open champions, Brooks Koepka with a 2 under par 68 and John Rahm with a 1 under par 69.
Now, it's a big GA weekend. Dublin have named Con O'Callaghan and Owen Merchant on the bench for tomorrow's big football clash with Derry. Mark O'Shea of Dr. Crokes makes his debut for Kerry against Meath. And while we have a hectic football weekend, which we'll preview later, in hurling, we've just 2 preliminary quarterfinals this weekend. And Don Lo Cusack isn't happy.
Good morning, Hurling Nation. We haven't reached the middle day of June, and after tomorrow, there's 5 inter-county championship games left. The crazy microwave season has given us another summer that's been too fast to savour. The Munster final gripped the imagination of the country. There'll be no complaints from Cork, but a replay was the most natural and fair outcome. An opportunity to promote the game and to earn bonus money that could make a difference for grassroots hurling. But the microwave season leaves no room for breeding, let alone replays in the competition that's the golden fig leaf for the GA's hurling shame. On Sunday, just before a dreary, badly attended Leinster final, Kildare became one of the best stories of the year. They were young, fast, skillful and a joy to watch. They play again tomorrow, just 6 days later. Are this new exciting team on the television? Of course not. GA's own GA Plus channel, which seems like it should be designed for such a service, disdains the Joe McDonagh Cup until the final. You can watch Laois versus Tipperary, however, don't hold your breath. The last time Tip played in one of these games, they put 7:38 past Offaly, who then stood where Laois now stand after losing the final. Did those experiences do Offaly any harm? They certainly didn't do them any good. Outside of Laois beating Dublin once, the average losing margin of the other 9 involving McDonagh finalists has been 17 points. McDonagh finalists become McDonagh survivors a week later. The cup is a good idea, badly executed. Nobody has made the breakthrough. Teams that win need support in keeping their energy going. They don't need to be put back in their box 6 days later. Tomorrow, get out to support Kildare playing Dublin and Newbridge and Laois playing Tipperary and Port Laois. You probably won't see a thriller in either place, but they've earned the support. Enjoy yourselves, it's later than you think. The stingy annual ration to hurling from those who've become gatekeepers of the game, not its guardians, is running out.
Interesting stuff from Don Logue. In soccer news, Kevin De Bruyne has completed his move to Napoli after leaving Manchester City. And Cork man Brian Barry Murphy is on the verge of becoming new manager of Cardiff City. leaving Leicester, where he was assistant manager to Ruud van Nistelrooy. Tottenham confirmed the appointment of Brentford boss Thomas Frank last night, and Drogheda United head into a crucial Premier Division clash with St. Pat's tonight, having confirmed they will not be allowed to compete in the UEFA Conference League due to ownership rules. They're now going to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Drogheda's owners also own the Danish side Silkeborg, and they can only have one team in this competition. Silkeborg take priority because of their higher league position under UEFA guidelines. In tonight's other Premier Division games, the leaders Shamrock Rovers go to Talca Park to play the champions Shelburne. Cork City host Bowes, and Derry City entertain Galway United. Well, Paul Curry joins us now. And Paul, it's Talca Park, I suppose, that catches the eye.
Morning, Des. Yes, it certainly is. And that's going to be a cracker of a game to restart the league after the break. It's probably a break that Shamrock Rovers felt they didn't really need. They seem to have a fully fit squad. They were really finding a strong level of form before that break, and it'll be interesting to see whether or not they can slot back into that form against what is going to be a very difficult test tonight. Shells, on the other hand, there's a lot of pressure on them heading into this game. A defeat tonight would put them 12 points behind Shamrock Rovers and would end, you would imagine, any sort of chance of them retaining their title. The good news is Paddy Barrett, Sean Gannon and Connor Kearns, who were so fundamental to that league title win last year, are all back in and fit, and that'll be a huge boost to Damien Duff, whose side really need to get going at an important stage of the season. Outside of that, you mentioned Pat's go to Drogheda. Be interesting to see whether or not Stephen Kenny can find another level in his side after the break. And Bowes, who had a really good run of form just before the break, head to Cork. They're the two teams, Des, who I see being the biggest threats to Shamrock Rovers. So brilliant to have the League of Ireland back.
Certainly is some good games. Thanks, Paul, for that. In athletics, Rashida Adeleke finished fourth in her first 400 metres race of the season in the Oslo Diamond League meet, her time 50.42. And Mark English, in great form, he ran 1:44.33 in the 800 metres, the second fastest run of his career. In hockey, the Irish men's team lost 6-2 to world number one side the Netherlands. Ben Nelson got both Irish goals. Ireland play Belgium tomorrow. In cricket, Ireland's opening T20 international against the West Indies was washed out by the heavy rain in Breedy. At the World Cup of Darts in Frankfurt, Republic of Ireland duo William O'Connor and Keane Barry won 4-2 against Gibraltar. They play China tonight. And finally, with two race meetings there at Cork and Ferry House.
Des, thank you for that. And the time now, 17 minutes to 8.